We are launching a new sermon series this weekend that we call The Love Well. The Love Well. And it's intended to be a three-week sermon series all about love. I want to say just a shout-out to the Wyoming campus, the Nagpur campus, and the young people at the juvenile detention facility. Yep. And, you know, I want to get this right, all right? Today is my 17th wedding anniversary to my wife, Petra. So, Petra, would you join me up here for just a moment, please? Now, how did he say it in the video? I'm supposed to look into your eyes. No. Dear, I just wanted to say it has been a joy to journey with you these 17 years of marriage. I love you. I still do. Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you.
She has put up with me for a long time. You know, you think about it. We got married. I was this engineer, and then at some point came to her and told her I felt like God was calling me to seminary, and she just rolled with it. And then obviously there's been a lot that we have experienced together, from her cancer journey to her being, cancer-free for, 5 years now. And the journey of adoption and becoming parents of two young men, and then obviously the transition from outreach pastor to lead pastor. You all have been a great blessing to us as a church family. And it's hard to believe, 17 years almost makes me feel old or something. Not you, Petra, just me. I just feel old. The Love Well. I don't know how many of you grew up on well water. I don't know if you had a well that you had to utilize. I know I've been in other parts of the world where I've been with organizations digging well to get people access to clean water. And so often in those communities, to have access to water means access to life. We have a picture of a well, and that picture reminds me of how God has given us an unlimited supply of love to draw from. And in weeks like this past week, we need to remember that God has given us this unlimited supply of love to draw from. You know, we did a series called Going Viral that was before this series, and we gave you some social media moments for each week of the series, and we're not necessarily going to do that every week, but I thought if you wanted to sum up this series, you might sum it up this way. If you drink from the love well, you will learn how to love well. I don't know about you, but I think we could all learn how to love well. I think we could all grow in that area. And in this three-week series, this first week was really intended to be about the love between a husband and a wife. I mean, it's my anniversary, and that's why we had the video and all of these things. But as I look back over the events of the last week, I feel like maybe the concept is supposed to be broader than that, just a reminder for all of us to learn how to love well in light of what's happening in our world. The text and topic that I had chosen for this week is from 1 Corinthians 13 with the topic of, it's all about love. It's all about love. It's really what it comes down to. God is love. If there is a chapter in the Bible that speaks about love, it's 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you will go to weddings this summer. You'll hear this text read or preached from. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. You know, ever since I selected this title, there's been a song that has been stuck in my head. Some of you know that in 1975, Earth, Wind, and Fire, some of you say, yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire, in 1975, when I was 2 years old, in December of that year, great, someone said, they released an album called Gratitude. And on that album, there was a song called Reasons, the live version of it. It's a classic song. Like, it's still, anytime it comes on the radio today, there are people that when the music starts at the beginning of Reasons, it's like, oh, yeah, that's my jam, is what some people would say. And Earth, Wind, and Fire had done a song called It's All About Love, but in this live song, Reasons, there's a part near the end of the song, about 6 minutes and 19 seconds into the song, where the saxophone player, a guy named Don Myrick, starts to alternate back and forth with the lead vocalist. So the lead vocalist does one thing. He says it's all about love, but he sings it. The saxophone player follows him, and it feels so improvisational. And I've had that part of the song, 6 minutes and 19 seconds into the song, stuck in my head in preparation for delivering this sermon. And I wanted you to hear just these 40 seconds of this song, because not only is it a musical masterpiece, just the way they banter back and forth, but it's one of those things where we get to see the creativity of God on display. Just listen.
He plays so beautiful, don't you agree? He said, it's all about love. It's all about love, ooh, baby. It's all, ooh, it's all about love. Check this out. La, 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 la.
I don't know what that gets you in the mood for. I didn't mean to go to my Barry White voice there, but, you know, it's highly creative, right? It's all about love. And some of you, you'll go out to your cars and try and sing that in your best falsetto voice. It's all about love. It's all about love. Strange irony, though. The guy's name was Don Myrick on the saxophone. The song was released in 1975. I didn't know this when this song was stuck in my head this week. You know, Don Myrick died 18 years later in 1993. Here's some insight on how he died. Myrick was fatally shot in Los Angeles, California by a Santa Monica policeman during a narcotics investigation. While attempting to serve a search warrant, police officer Gary Barbaro mistook a butane lighter in Myrick's hand for a weapon. He fired a single bullet that hit Myrick in the chest, and Myrick died in the hospital shortly afterwards, aged 53 years. And following a funeral service at a Baptist church, his body was buried at Inglewood Park Cemetery in Los Angeles County. Myrick was survived by his mother, Antoinette Myrick Carr, now deceased, wife Barbara, now deceased, and three daughters, Shawnee, Lauren, and Sharika Myrick, and a cousin, Elliot Myrick. And in 1995, their wrongful death lawsuit against the city was settled for $400,000. Decades after his death, he still lies in an unmarked grave in the El Portal section of the Inglewood Park Cemetery in the South Los Angeles community of Inglewood, California. There's an old expression that says, the more things change, the more they stay the same. There are some people, as they looked at the events of this past week, they say, you know, we wouldn't be talking about these things if the media didn't highlight these things. I want you to think about that statement for a minute. We wouldn't be talking about these things. Not these things wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't be talking about them. And yet there's something healthy that comes from talking about these things. The more things change, the more they stay the same. That's actually a fairly pessimistic statement, isn't it? I'd rather phrase it this way. The more we learn to embrace the love of Christ, the more we can change the things around us. And so I move you on to the end of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, which sets up chapter 13, where Paul, who knew about great transformation, wrote these words, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." I'd like to pray before I dive into chapter 13. I'm going to ask that you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. And we praise you for the work of your Holy Spirit already on display in our gathering this weekend. God, our hope is that you would speak in the moments ahead in a way that helps us, Lord. It helps us to know how to be more like you and how to love the world that you love so much. God, your word tells us that you love this world so much that you were willing to send your only son, Jesus, to suffer and die on the cross, that whoever would believe in him and his resurrection from the dead would be saved. I pray, oh Lord, that there be folks who get saved today. And I pray for those who are saved that we would grow in our love for the world and for you and for one another today. It's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Paul writes these words in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." You've got to understand, the Apostle Paul was a man who had been on both sides of the track. Paul was one who was basically a terrorist. He terrorized the early Christian community. He went from house to house watching people be dragged out of their homes simply for their allegiance to Christ. He was one that stood by when Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death. And Paul was there bearing witness to this man losing his life for his allegiance to Christ. And then God met him on a road to Damascus. His name was Saul at the time, and on this road he had this experience with Christ where he was asked, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And if you read through the book of Acts, you hear him tell his story again and again and again. In that moment, he heard the voice of Christ, and everything changed for him. He went from terrorist to evangelist like that. He went from one who was making life hard for people to one who was trying to speak life into people. He is the living proof that God can change anyone. If God can change Saul, God can change anyone. If God can change Saul, God can change you and he can change me. If God can change people like Saul, God can change our whole world. Living proof at the time that he's writing this letter. And he writes these words about love. Now, you might say, why is he writing about love? Well, you've got to understand, Paul wrote into communities that were divided. Paul can relate to what our nation experiences so often. There were dividing lines, all sorts of dividing lines in Paul's culture. Dividing lines between Jews and non-Jews, between Jews and Greeks, dividing lines over many different issues of doctrine and faith. In fact, when Paul shows up on the scene and begins to talk about Christ, there are some who are skeptical of him. "We can't trust you. You're the one that was terrorizing us." And Paul understood what it was like to live in a context where there was fear and distrust and disunity. Yet he had a timely word for this community, and I believe it's a timely word for our community. How do you navigate when there's drama and tension on social media and face-to-face gatherings? How do you navigate such tension over such deep issues? How do you navigate when two people from different backgrounds can look at the same situation and come to different conclusions? Well, it's all about love. Paul writes about love. If you're taking notes this weekend, you might write this down, that love must be at the foundation of healthy, lasting relationships. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk around in fear. I don't want to walk around with a bunch of broken relationships. I don't want to walk around with a bunch of fake relationships. But I do know this, I can't have real, authentic relationships with people who are different than me unless I choose to love them. Our whole world could use a healthy dose of love. God loves everybody. God called us to love everybody. He even called us to love our enemies. And so love has to be at the foundation. This is what Paul is trying to say. He's painting this picture. He's building the case here that love has to be at the foundation of healthy and lasting relationships. Paul might have phrased it this way: eloquent words are meaningless if they're not undergirded by love. There have been a lot of words over the past week. I've even put words out in social media, words just sharing my heart about my love for this church family, words sharing my pain about watching the news reports, eloquent words that some people complimented. But you know, they're meaningless if they aren't undergirded by love. And sometimes words can't even capture how love moves in your heart. Paul's saying, if you just have a bunch of words that aren't rooted in love, if you think you're the resident expert on everything, you're just making a bunch of noise. You're like a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong that's just a noisemaker. And we know, if you watch the media, if you watch social media, there's a bunch of noisemakers in our world. If I'm going to make some noise, I'd rather it be like Paul says earlier in the letter, I'd rather be boasting about Christ than boasting about myself. I'd rather be lifting up the name of Jesus and making a big deal out of him than about a lot of other things in this world. I'm trusting that Jesus will show me how to live in light of what goes on. Paul says spiritual gifts are unhelpful if they're not used in love. You can have all the gifts in the world, be the most gifted person there is, but if you don't know how to love people, something is wrong. Spiritual gifts are intended to help build people up, not show people how smart you are or how wise we are. Spiritual gifts help us have empathy and listen and then figure out how to build up a world that's so broken. And then when he says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but don't have love, I gain nothing. Generosity is fruitless if it doesn't come from a place of love. Paul's challenging us to love one another. You can't just write checks and fix societal problems if it's not rooted in love. You can't just give eloquent speeches and fix deep sin issues. It's not rooted in love. You know, one of the most challenging things for me this week when I woke up and I saw the second news report of an African-American man killed after he was pulled over for a broken taillight in Minnesota. I was just overwhelmed, and all I could do was walk across the hall, wake up my 16-year-old son, and just hug him. I don't even think he knew why I was waking him up. He's half asleep. It's 2 hours before he needed to be up. I'm just hugging him and saying, be wise today. And I love you. But I hate those moments. Not telling my son I love him. I hate the emotions that come from the brokenness that's in our world. Paul says it's got to be rooted in love. The world can't change. Division can't be overcome. Unity can't be found if we don't know how to love. He gives some specific instructions about love that I think all of us can live out this week if we just would meditate on these words. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I don't know about you, but the world needs to see this kind of love on display from Christians in the days ahead. That love that's always about lifting up the name of Jesus. That love that's always about being patient. Love with an outward focus has the power to change the world. Love always hopes. What that means is that we can't be these people that are like, oh my goodness, the world is just falling apart. What are we going to do? Turn off the media, get outside, and love on somebody. Love on someone that needs to be loved. Hug someone that needs a hug. One of the most powerful stories that emerged as this week came to a conclusion is from a young African-American woman that posted, she walked in a convenience store. She said when she walked in, there were two white police officers standing near the counter. When she walked in, they grew silent. She went and got her items and came up to pay, and the older police officer said to her, "How are you doing?" And she said, "I'm fine, and you?" And he made a strange face and said, "No, how are you really doing?" And then he reached out and he hugged her. And she just started bawling like a baby. And he said, "I guess it's hard being either one of us right now, isn't it?" She posted that for her it was such a powerful moment. Just two people having a moment of clarity. You know what that moment was rooted in? Love. It's all about love. It's all about love. Do, 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 do. No. I should go see if they need a replacement singer. Paul goes on to say in verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Let me just summarize that part of the text for you. We learn to love well when we understand our own limitations. If you think you are all that you have it all figured out, that you're the resident expert on politics, on cultural relations, on how the church should run, on everything that happens in the world. If you think you got it all figured out, it's probably going to be pretty hard for you to love people, right? Because no one will ever measure up to you. But if you could just humbly recognize that we all have limitations, Paul's saying that spiritual gifts, they'll go away. Prophecies will cease. Knowledge will pass away. All of these things will eventually pass away. When you recognize that you are just a finite person, that you don't have all the answers, that in fact, God didn't create you to be on some island, but he created us for one another and that we have to be together. When you realize that humbly, then you'll recognize, now I can love others because they bring something to the table that I don't. We all need each other. And when one part of the body is hurting, the whole body hurts. And when one part of the body is broken, the whole body experiences brokenness. Friends, I'm here to tell you, it may be hard for you to fully enter in the emotions of what happened over the last week. You may be one of those people who's quick to say, where's the big sermon when there's black on black crime? Where's the big sermon over human trafficking? Where's the big sermon on this, or that? You may be one of those people that says that. Friends, let me just tell you, that is not an empathetic position. Because there are people in your community who are hurting even if you're not. And there are people who are hurting because of other forms of crime and other forms of trafficking. And just because that's not your hot button issue, empathy is about trying to put yourself in their shoes for a moment and just say, because I love you and because my perspective is limited, I just want to walk with you as you grieve. Paul says all this stuff is temporary. We learn to love well when we understand those limitations. But then he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only reflection as in a mirror. We shall see, and then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's all about love. When we don't have the full picture, love is the most mature option. Some of you, like me, see police videos of people being shot and killed, and you start to move into armchair quarterback mode, thinking you're a CSI, and you're going to analyze and figure out, did the cop think his life was in danger, or did the person think his life was in danger, or did the person really do nothing wrong, or did the police officer do something wrong? When you don't have all the details, you know what the most mature option is? Love. L-O-V-E. Just love. Recognize that because of love, I can grieve for all involved in the situation. And I can trust that God will show me exactly what I need to do in order to reflect his love in the midst of great brokenness. Paul might be saying that it's time to grow up. When he was a child, he thought about things in childish ways, but now he's put childhood behind him. When we grow up, we realize it's not about being right all the time. It's often so much more about being loving. And the world is longing to see this kind of love displayed from the Christian community. A love that's empathetic, a love that's sympathetic, a love that recognizes I can love on you even if I don't agree with you because God has called me to love you. You can have faith, you can have hope, you can have love, but Paul points out what the greatest thing is, love. Church, I want you to imagine what it would look like if the world saw this kind of love from every church that claims allegiance to Christ. The world would be a different place. It'd be totally different. There'd be so much less conflict. There'd be random acts of kindness. There'd be overwhelming generosity. There'd be people hugging people when they just need a hug. There'd be people just loving on people when they're in the midst of great pain and grief. There'd be people that understand that we just need to sit and lament sometimes with others. There'd be people that would celebrate things that need to be celebrated. The world would be different if we could just embrace the kind of love that God instructs us to have in Scripture. It's all about love. So I want to challenge you this week. You sometimes wonder, what do I do with this message? What action should I put in place? I don't know what your daily devotional habit looks like. For some of you, I know it's absent. And for others of you, you've got your rhythm that you're walking through. What if you took 1 Corinthians 13 and just meditated on it at the start of each day? Would you be willing to do that for me? Just meditate on 1 Corinthians 13 at the start of each day. Some of you got to go home and blow the dust off your Bible, open it up, set it on the kitchen table or the counter, and just turn it to 1 Corinthians 13, and then pick one attribute of love to focus on each day in all of your relationships, and trust me, your week's going to be different than any week you've ever experienced. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be people who are known for being loving. Fill us with your love in fresh ways so that we can pour it out on the world. For those who are hurting, I pray that you would help them experience your love. For those who are plotting acts of evil, I pray that you would help them experience your love. For those who are serving in law enforcement, pray that you would help them to experience your great love. To those that have encounters with law enforcement this week who are walking in fear, I pray that you would help them to experience your love. God, my prayer is simply that you would help us to display this kind of love to the world that you love so much. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.